Well, I was a bit of a quandary about this morning because I had prepared things, and then yesterday afternoon I just felt God saying, I want you to cut out most of that stuff. So then I was listening, and I wasn't hearing anything. And then last night, where is the lid? You. You prayed something last night, and when you were praying, there was three things that you prayed, which were the three headings I had in the thing I prepared. So I think that's what I'm going to do, those three things, okay? The title today was preparing to lay things down and for holiness. And so we're going to look in something in Mark, okay? But I just wanted to say, first of all, big thank you to the leaders here and to you for making us feel so welcome. It's been lovely to be here and to spend this weekend with you. I will be honest that we'd been to Annan Court about 15 years ago, and we were sharing the building with all sorts of wildlife that was running around inside the bedrooms and inside the mattresses and stuff. And we came here because, like your congregation, our congregation is situated on an estate, and the incomes weren't that big for people. So we wanted to take people away, but we couldn't put big heavy burdens financially on them. And so that's why we came here. And they used to say, when we used to say we're going to Annan Court for a weekend, they would go, oh. And then the sales of fly spray and all sorts of animal sprays would rise in the local shops as people kitted themselves out ready, you know, sleeping with masks on at night in case anything dropped in them. I mean, it was as bad as that. You know, there's cockroaches everywhere. But I didn't mind. I sleep anywhere, and as long as you keep your mouth closed, you're fine. But, I was coming to that. I was coming to that. Yeah. But in those days, you had to, you self-catered, so the kitchens, you had to bring your own team and your own food and cook, and then you'd have to wash your own dishes and all this stuff. But you know what? I have to say that this has been one of the nicest days we've had for a while. The food's been good. The company's been good. The rooms are comfortable and warm. Ashburnham, we were at Ashburnham. You were there last couple of weeks ago. The rooms were freezing. It was really cold in the Ashburnham rooms. The food, the company, the rooms are comfortable and warm. And it's been nice. It's been really, you know. And they supply you a towel. Well, you don't get that at Ashburnham, and they charge twice the price. You know, that sort of thing. So that's made it for us, and it's really redeemed it coming here this weekend. But it's been good. We've enjoyed it. It's been good fun. And, no, but does anybody here know Ken McGreevy? Heard of Ken McGreevy? No? Yeah. Well, we're going to see him tomorrow night. Look, last time we saw him, I said, we're going to do this weekend for Broadfields. It's a linked church, and we're going to Annan Court. He went like that. But he said, the last time I did a weekend, a church asked me to do a weekend down there. He said, I wouldn't go unless they promised to put me up in Pilgrim Hall. So they had to put him up around there next door. But, no, we've enjoyed it. It's been nice. And we slept well, and even through the, we didn't hear any car alarms at all. Nothing. So it's been good. Just to say, you know, we're really looking forward to seeing you all at Revive again. You know, we obviously have a good time. And also, feel free to invite Roger and Faith down to preach, you know, because they will come if you ask them. Invite anybody from Ichthys. They'd love to come and visit and speak in your church or whatever. So if you're ever looking for anybody, if you're running out of preachers, feel free to ask them, any of our sort of guys. If they can't come, they'll just say they can't come. But I know what they're like, and I know if they can make the dates, they will do it. So, feel free to do that. We want to supply all those resources because that's what Link is about. You ask, if we can do it, we give it to you. So it's an offer. It's up for you to just take advantage of it. Just give me a call or email me and I can organize whoever you want. Okay? Is that all right? The other thing, just alluding to something I just said last night about in the early days when we planted a church in Eltham, and I think I'd been a Christian, a year? We ended up leading this congregation in Eltham, an Ichthys congregation. And I realized that I'd taken on too much too very quickly. Because when I used to get upset, I wouldn't go to church. Or when I used to lie in bed, and I'd say, I'm not going, you go, to Angela. So Angela would have to go and tell them, Graham's not coming today. Graham's not coming today because he's upset. You know, I mean, there's some odd things I used to do. You know, we used to plan. I mean, this is awful, really, when I think back to it. I mean, I don't know how we still got those people who are still our friends, you know. I mean, the way we treated them was terrible. But we used to have a planning meeting. But I would have it all organized beforehand. So I knew what we were going to do even before I even asked them. I would put it in such a way that, well, that's a good idea, they would say. And so it wasn't actually any real need for debate. So, I was manipulating them, Martin, and controlling them, which is sinful. So when Ichthys reorganized, we moved into Woolwich, where I'm now the leader of the congregation there. I've learned such a lot. And I've been I'm still learning, but I've been leading that congregation for about 11 years, and it's been great. And I love it. I love leading the church, and I love my biggest thrill, the biggest buzz I get, and it's what's been buzzing us here, is that when you see people pick up something from God and run with it, and that is so rewarding when you see something in someone's life, and when they eventually the penny drops and they grab it and they go with it. It's fantastic. And that's the biggest, I think, I don't know if you feel the same way. I think as leadership, when you see that happening, you think there is a God. God is moving. And it's if you can be any help in that as a person, whether you're a leader or not, that's always a good thing. It's always a good place to be someone who can facilitate someone else moving on and doing something. And, you know, as family, we should celebrate each other's successes, shouldn't we? Not decry them or put them down. We should celebrate, and that's what I love when that happens. So that's good. Okay. Now we'll get into the word in a minute. It's just something. I had a word. I had two words last night, actually. One, the first one was that it's a lady is involved, and or maybe a couple of ladies, maybe many ladies. I don't know, but I felt that yesterday the Lord was saying that. Whatever you're facing a decision. You've got to take a decision. I think it's probably in your job situation. You've got to take a decision, and you're not sure how it's going to work out. Okay, you're not sure whether you should step out into it or not. And I felt the Lord just saying, as He did with Esther, that the Lord reaches His scepter out towards you, giving you favor in that situation, whatever that decision you're trying to make or want to make, the Lord says you have His favor, so you can step out in faith knowing that He's with you and His favor is on you. Does that apply to anyone here? Does that ring any bells with anyone? Okay. Well, okay, this one there. So let's just, why don't you stand up? We're just going to pray. I want to pray for you both. Just stand up. Congregation, why don't you just reach your hands out to these lovely ladies? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Yeah. Did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. It's just, yeah, good. I tell you what, come forward, come out. Angela, would you come? Sorry, this wasn't what my plan was, but come forward. actually, you and your husband have been on my heart since I've met you both. Come on. Come on, don't be shy. Come on. We're just going to pray because I really feel that the favor of God is on. It says in Esther, I went and read it, and it says that Esther went to the king. You know the story. It's in the Old Testament. You can read it. And she wanted to petition the king, but she was frightened to do it. And what happened was she went to the king, and the king granted. It says in the word that the king gave her favor. She obtained favor. And I believe whatever you're deciding, whatever you're doing, God, our King, has given you favor. And what it says in the word, it says that the king reached forth his scepter, and that was a sign that she could approach the king and make her a petition. Of course, we don't need scepters, or we can approach the king without all that, but he's given you favor. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for your favor to rest on these decisions, Lord. I pray, Father, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done. Father, I pray, Lord, that favor that you've promised, Father, will see these women through. Father, I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the outpouring of your spirit into all those situations, Lord, that they're going into and the decisions they're having to take. Lord, thank you that your word has said that you've given them favor with yourself. Lord, I thank you for that, and I ask, Lord, that you would honor your word in the coming days ahead. In Jesus' lovely name. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Okay, thank you. It'd be good to hear some stories at some point whenever you... Now, there's another thing that I felt the Lord has said to me last night and this morning was to do with decisions. Again, similar to the last one, but this one was, there's like two decisions, two choices you can make. And either one, God says either one, he will honor. Whatever you decide, there's two ways. Either way, God says he will honor that. Okay, so if you're in that situation, should it go that way, should it go this way, God says he'll honor it. It's similar to the last one, but slightly different. It's just that whatever decision you take, God says he'll honor it. Okay, neither decision is wrong. Okay. Yes, Graham? Right, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. I want to read from verse 42. I just want to take some verses from this chapter and apply them and give us something that we could take away with us. It's practical, but biblical, if you know what I mean. So it's something that will set us up for Monday morning when we go back into the sort of real world, if you know what I mean. We get sort of cocooned here, don't we? We're away and that's a good thing. It's good to come away and draw away from stuff that's going on outside. This is the NASB. Oh, yeah. NASB. Have you got it now? It's Mark, what did I say it was? 9. 42, thank you. You're welcome. Who said that? Right, I'm trying to keep up. Oh, well, it's actually be easier for me to read it off here, wouldn't it? Okay, let's read it from here then. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung round his neck, he had been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter the life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That is comforting, isn't it? I'll explain it in a minute. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Think, so trying to get a message across. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And that's it. the reason I've read that and wanted to use that was that I wanted us to, this is where the three headings come in, I wanted us to talk about what it's like being a Christian in church, what it's like being Christian in the workplace, do you remember this now? And what it's like being Christian at home. And I want us to apply some of this stuff. Now, let me just say this, that we'd be no good to anyone if when we did, when our feet did something wrong, we cut off our legs. And then if our hand, we'd cut off our hands and we cut off our eyes, take our eyes out and our ears. Okay? We wouldn't be any good to anyone. But Jesus is teaching his disciples that if stuff gets in the way of what he wants us to do for him, then he's saying it's better to do that. So today, there are ways that we can deal with those issues in our lives. And one of the subject of today was to lay things down. It was about seeking after holiness and laying things down. Okay? So let me just tell you what I mean. Jesus is speaking to, he's speaking to the disciples, okay? This is what we do in church. And what he's saying is that you're an adult Christian, for example. If you behave not in an adult way, and if you do things not in an adult way, then younger Christians, whether they're younger in age or whether they're younger in the spirit, whether, you know, it could be an older young Christian, that may cause that Christian to stumble. And what Jesus is saying is that we need to be people who live the life, we walk the walk and we talk the talk because we're walking in close relationship with Jesus. We're on the highway of holiness. We are as close as we can possibly get to Jesus. So therefore, our witness in the church, and I'm talking about in the church now, because there's as much division in the church sometimes as there is outside in the world. You know, I mean, you probably know ICTHYS have come through about four or five years ago, a complete sort of turnaround and people leaving and stuff happening. So it can happen anywhere. But it just seems that somehow in the church, it becomes such a big issue with things. We get so offended with stuff. That if you were in the work, well, let me put it this way. When I was in the police, if you did something stupid or you said something wrong, they would tell you in no uncertain terms that you'd done something wrong. And they wouldn't use language that the clergy would know, okay? They wouldn't use like nice language. But the thing that I used to remember and then compare it to what used to happen in the church, once that was over and done with, the air was clear again, and you went back to work, and nothing happened. But somehow, in a church setting, when someone treads on your toes, whether they do it on purpose or whether it's willful, there's all sorts of offenses get taken, don't they? All, we said, I feel really hurt and offended, you know. And we think, well, and then the person that's actually offended you has probably got no clue that they've done it. But you're carrying that offense and you're loving it. You're milking it for all you can work. And actually, it's doing you more harm than it's doing them because they don't know they've hurt you or offended you. You're the one that's carrying it. So where's the damage being done? And what happens is that when that happens to you or me, then that gets inflicted on somebody else. Because we have to vent it somewhere. We don't have the guts to go and vent it to the person. So we gather somebody else alongside of us. That could be a young Christian, could be an old Christian. And that's how we damage each other doing that. Okay? That's what I feel Jesus is saying here about cutting things off. Things that cause you to be offended, cause you to damage others, cause you to damage the body, because that does damage the body of Christ in the end. Jesus is telling us that actually you'd be better off your torso going to heaven, you know, than to be full and have all your limbs and end up going to hell. where the worm never dies. You know, you try buying it, you try burning a bonfire in your garden. Do you do that here? Not allowed. You know, when you rake it over after, there's always worms living there. There's always something, worms crawling in that underneath where the bonfire's been. That was outside the city of where they used to burn all the rubbish. And Jesus is likening that to hell. Because that, you know, I've seen that in my own garden where you've burned something and it burns the stuff away and then you rake it over and there's worms everywhere. They just seem to be able to survive, don't they? But the word for us here, as believers in the body of Christ, is that we need to be role models for other Christians. We need to be role models for people who are pre-Christians, people who are just on the verge, on the edge. We need to be role models for those young people that are coming in. We need to model how to worship, for example. We need to be people that come as adults with our children and worship together with them, modeling how we worship, because they learn their behavior from us, don't they? It's the same in society. It's the same outside. They model themselves. They'll see adult behavior and they will follow that because they think that's legitimate. But sometimes it isn't, is it? So let's be people. Let's be born again, believing, spirit-filled Christians that live our lives, that are witness, that doesn't cause anyone else to stumble, doesn't cause anyone else to doubt. You know, I heard of a story once, and just after I'd become a Christian, where there was a guy that was one of these people, you know, that there's probably none of these people here, okay? But one of these people that goes, you know, the roof's caving in on his house, the cars sort of ran down a hill and crashed into the canal, he lost his job, everything's going wrong. And it's one of these, praise God anyway. You know, there's no sign of any sort of... Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to praise God in the middle of adversarial things like that happening. What I'm saying is there's a need for us to be honest. And I remember this story really well because it really shocked me that this would have happened. There's that particular guy, and there's another younger Christian came into the congregation, and he looked up to this character, and he saw this unassailable, full of joy Christian that was so in the flow of God, but actually he was breaking up inside, but it was all something he was putting on for church. And this guy decided, well, I can't live like that. I will never be able to match up to that. And he committed suicide because he just felt he couldn't. This guy was so up there. But actually, the guy was living a lie. See what I mean? So that's a sad story, but it's a good sort of teaching, a good lesson for us that we need to be real, need to be honest. There's no use being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You need to have your feet on the ground, but you need to be in the heavenlies, and you need to be communicating with God, and you need to be real with people. You need to be real with one another. And we need to just strip off all that facade and all that stuff. And the whole area of offenses, you know, some of us are carrying around offenses that, you know, the sell-by date's gone years ago. You wouldn't put that sort of stuff in your fridge, would you? You'd chuck something out of your fridge that was over a week old, wouldn't you? My kids would. But yet we hang on to offenses and we hang on to stuff for years and years and years. If you're in that situation, this is a good time to get rid of it. Leave it at Annan Court. I nearly said Ashburnham. Leave it at Annan Court. Don't take anything back with you that's where the sell-by date's gone. Because we want to be free. We want to be real. Okay? That's our life in church. Are you still with me now? It's always good to model worship. You know, I said it before, but we're trying to encourage our parents in Woolwich to leave what's those machines? Leave the DSs at home, because it's like there was a point when they were coming in, and then straight into the pocket. And that came the DS to their child. So their child's doing the DS while we're worshiping, you know, and then another child comes over and can I have a play of that? So then you get a group of them, which we're not against DSs either, by the way. We don't mind those, but in their place. We want parents to come with the children, and we want them to worship, and we want them to show the children how to worship, so they learn that sort of thing, that process. The other thing is, maybe dare I ask, how many of you got your Bibles? You see, forgive me for this, all right, but this is one of my pet things in Woolwich, and I'm going to just let you have it, full side, full broadside, okay? You cannot go into battle if you don't have a sword. You can't do anything unless you have your sword. That, am I telling you off now? Do you feel told off? I'm not. No, but I want to encourage, I'm encouraging you. Yeah, I want to encourage you because our children, some of our youth leaders had this thing where they used to give the youth a prize on Sundays, or if they brought their Bibles for 4 weeks in a row or something, they used to give them something. And then after, if they used to say, right, if you read your Bible through cover to cover, we'll give you a cash prize. And things like that, just to try and encourage them. But the best encouragement we can give them is as parents, if we bring our Bibles to church with us, and we encourage them to bring theirs. And we, you know, we sit with them, we use them. So I just want, it's just a little thing, just to encourage us to, it's not to do with holiness, it's to do with being prepared. Okay? Because we need to be prepared. I need to use the word, and the word is our instruction manual, and we need it. You wouldn't run your car without having one at hand if you needed to look up something, would you? So bring your Bibles. Okay? Okay. Good. Okay. That was church. Bring your Bibles each Sunday. I know that it's sometimes a little bit old-fashioned, but it's not old-fashioned. It's vital that we have the word with us. So, second place that where Jesus is telling us to live lives, to get rid of stuff that might cause people to falter, is in the workplace. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to be a Christian, I think, in the workplace than in church. I mean, that might sound odd. One thing you don't want people to say. There's one thing you want them to say, and there's one thing you don't want them to say. The one thing you want them to say in work is, they say, when they discover, well, we were talking with Ian, that when they discover that you're a Christian, they say, yeah, I thought there was something about you different. That's what you want them to say. Because that means at least you're giving off something, even if you're not saying anything. You know, there's something coming out of you. What you don't want them to say, when you tell them you're a Christian, he says, oh, I didn't know that. And then you think, you're a failure, because you obviously didn't see anything of God on you. Do you know, when I used to work, when I was in the police, I used to work in Woolwich Town Centre. I used to work in, my last 10 years in, investigated domestic violence. And I used to go into Woolwich, which is our town centre, where most of our congregation would go to do the shopping and stuff. And I used to come out of the police station, which was just behind the high street, to walk down maybe to buy something for lunch or something. And I used to walk out of the police station, and God used to say, for goodness sake, smile, let people know you're saved. If you meet somebody in the congregation, you put them off. So I used to say to him, for goodness sake, you know, tell your face you're saved. You know, so I used to go down the high street like this, you know, trying to make myself look normal, you know. But it was something that I had to do because God was telling me, if you bump into somebody in the congregation who's a bit low, well, he said, you'll finish them off, basically. So you need to be, but it was all about not just doing it when that, what I'm trying to say is not just doing it when it's happening then, it's doing it in the workplace. It's being honorable in the workplace is being people of integrity. You know, my friend is an accountant. He works with Arab companies, Lebanon, and goes out to Dubai and places like that. And one of the things that they admire about him and has set him apart is his integrity in his business when he deals with finance. And they're always sort of trying to encourage him to take shortcuts on things, and he won't do it. And they admire him. And he's been working for this company for years and years and years, and they love him. They know he's a believer. He doesn't call himself a Christian. He calls himself a follower of Jesus, because there's too many connotations in the Middle East about Christians and stuff. So, but we need to be people, men and women of integrity in the workplace. We need to be people that don't nick the pens, don't nick the pads, don't suddenly find them in your briefcase, you know, and stock up the kids' school stuff with it. You know, I've done all that, so I know what it's like. I know it's thieving. Yeah, anything. But you're getting the gist of it, aren't you? We need to strip away stuff that the world would apply, stuff that they would do in the world. You know, one of the biggest sadnesses, I think, of the church, and why I don't think we're seeing the conversions that we should be seeing, is that people that go to the church, non-Christians that go, like, to the Anglican, or go to the, you know, nominal Christians, you would call them, they don't see any difference between what they're doing and what people who call themselves Christians are doing. They don't see any difference. And they say, well, what's the need to change? You know, I'm doing what they're doing. I'm coming each Sunday. There's no sort of difference. I mean, do you think about what's been going on in the Catholic Church this last couple of weeks? Awful stuff that's going on. You know, we need to be crying out to God to forgive us. Forgive the church. That's his expression. The body of Christ is God's expression on earth. Look what we're doing to one another. But be good people. Be men and women of integrity in the workplace, so that people will know that you're born again, will know, even without even having to say anything, they'll know there's something different about you, because you just cannot keep it in. You cannot keep it in. I remember when I was finishing my time with the police, I retired in 1998, and I'd been moaning to God because I'd been witnessing to the people I was working with for a long time, and didn't seem to be seeing any sort of success in it. And so I'm moaning at God and I'm saying, "What is it? I've got about 2 weeks left, and none of these guys have shown any signs of turning or changing." In that week, one of the girls I worked with accused me. She said, "You've been horrible this last couple of weeks to me. You've been absolutely horrible." And when she said it, I realized I had been, because I'd been sort of short and terse and horrible. And I said, "Look, I'm really sorry. I said, I've not been a good Christian. I'm really sorry and I apologize. Can we start again? I know I said I've only got 2 weeks to go, but can we start again?" So we did. The very next day, we were in a Burger King having our lunch. You can do this sort of thing, you see, when you're in the police. And we were sitting down, and one of the ladies I was working, WPCs, woman, police, woman. I'm trying to be politically correct. Police person. There's two of us and me, two of them and me. Two women and me. And this one of them started saying to me, "Oh, I've just been doing an Alpha course." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I finished it." And I said, "And?" Like, I was really sort of, I couldn't believe this. Like, it was, and she said, "Yeah, she said, I've done it, yeah." I said, "How did it end up then? What happened? Did you make a decision?" She said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian now." I said, "That's fantastic." You know, and this is after me moaning at God 2 weeks before, a week before. So this other lady that I'm working with, this new alpha convert is now witnessing to this girl here, this other girl, and I'm sitting, I'm going, my mouth's open, I'm thinking, I said, all this time I've waited for this moment, and now it happens just when I'm leaving. Anyway, she's witnessing to this other girl, and she's a girl from Guyana in South America. And so she's, and then this other girl says, you're never going to believe this. She said, but I was out running the other day, and it was a beautiful day, and I was just saying, what a beautiful day it is. The sun was shining. And she said, I heard the voice of God. Well, she said, I've never heard God's voice before, but I knew it was God because he told me things about myself that nobody else knew. He was talking to me. And God said to her, I want you and to go to this guy. This is another policeman who had been badly hurt. I want you to go to him, tell him that I'm going to heal him and fix him. And she said, I can't do that. I can't do that. He said, what about my partner? She had a living partner who wasn't, they weren't believers. This girl is not a Christian, okay? What about my partner? God said to her, you follow me and he'll follow you. Just simple as that. So she said, people are going to think I'm nuts. She's having this conversation with God. She said, people are going to think I'm nuts if I go back and tell them I've heard voices. And this is her response, right? And this is what she said to me. God said to her, go and ask Graham. He knows about these things. And I'm thinking, and I've been the worst Christian. You know, I've just had to apologize to somebody for treating them really badly. But the point I'm trying to make, this girl didn't actually make a decision for Christ. I mean, isn't that awful? You know, well, I mean, I haven't seen her for a year or two. She may have done. But anyway. But the point I'm making is that you don't know the effect you're having. If you live your life, you don't even have to speak. But you live your life, and the way you live it, and the way you do things, people know there's something about you. So I want to encourage us. Be men and women of integrity in the workplace. Take Jesus with you. As I was coming down the hill to my police station, I used to get to the top, and I used to bind all the powers of darkness over the place before I went in. And I used to find it was a lot better when I got inside and stuff. So I want to encourage you, be men and women of integrity. Strip off. Do what Jesus has been telling us. If it's something that's not right, something you're doing that's causing, bringing dishonor to the name of Jesus, because that's really what it comes down to, that we do things that are bringing dishonor, then we need to deal with it. And I believe we're going to pray at the end, and we're going to ask God to come and strip off the things so we're ready to hit the ground running tomorrow morning, whether it's to do with the church or whether it's to do with the workplace. Okay? Yeah? Third place where I feel is quite hard, very difficult, is in the home, to be a Christian in the home. Because some of the ways that we speak of others in the home can influence what our children, what opinions or what impressions they get of those people that we're talking about. Some of the ways that we talk to our children can affect the way that they relate to others outside in the schools. Now, don't be surprised if you, and I know none of you do this, I'm sure, but if you put your children down, don't be surprised if they go outside and do that to others. Because like learning to worship and like learning to read the word, all those things, some at that age, when they're growing up, they're learned things. They learn them from us. And if we want our kids to do well, work well, and be liked. Now, I know it's important for children to be liked, you know. Then we need to be sure that we're speaking in good ways and we're not speaking against people in their presence. Well, we shouldn't be doing it anyway. But there are homes that I know that I can go to this afternoon where they'll carve, while they're carving the meat, they'll be carving the preacher, or they'll be carving the person who welcomed him, or they'll be carving up the person who was leading worship. See what I mean? And I want us to be people that at home, that we live, we're just as full of integrity as we would be if we're in the workplace. It's sometimes it's harder in the home, isn't it? Because you're more relaxed and things happen, things slip out, things get said that are difficult to retract and retrieve. But, you know, I believe this is something that I've always felt. You know, when, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you wake up in the morning and you feel like a burden right on your head. You think there's something really horrible. You know, it's like you don't want to get up, but you feel a bit depressed or something. Do any of you ever get that way? Where you feel like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, shall I tell you something? I believe that as Christians, we can say things and we can think things that I believe the enemy can take hold of and use them to attack you in your minds. And that's another reason why we need to be sure that we're thinking the right way about individuals, we're thinking the right way about our children, and we're doing the right things in the home to instruct and teach our children how they should go. Okay? Because I believe the enemy can take anything and use it against us. And I sometimes think, when that happens, because I get this maybe in the middle of the night sometimes, we get a real anxiety, a real rush of anxiety, an anxiety attack. And then what I do is, when it wakes me up, and it wakes me up, it's right there, it just wakes me up. And I say, the Bible says, I'm to be anxious about nothing. So I invite Jesus to come into it, and it goes. But we need to be people in the home, careful of how we speak with one another, how we react with our children, how we behave towards them, our lifestyle, our don't do as I do as I say type thing. But we need to be modeling it for them in the home as well as outside, because you know that when you invite non-Christians into your home, invariably they feel the presence of Jesus. They will feel the presence of Jesus in there. Do you believe that? I do. At different levels, whatever, you know, however holy or however much on the holiness highway I am, will the amount of presence of Jesus will be reflected in that. You know, so the more I stay close to Jesus, the higher the concentration, if you like, will be. I mean, I've been in some of the people in our congregation's homes, and you feel the presence of Jesus as soon as you walk in. You know, and they're just like us. They're not supernatural, superhuman type Christians. They're just normal people living their lives, working the salvation out with fear and trembling. So that's for us in the church, in the workplace, in the home, in leisure. You can apply all these things, whatever you do and however you do it, because it's important that we don't carry anything around with this that causes us to either to sin ourselves or cause others to stumble and fall and trip, because it's horrible when that happens, when we do it to one another. You know, families should be on the whole, they should be love one another. You know, I mean, I know I'm probably speaking to, you probably think, well, it's not like that in my family, but in the family of God, we should be demonstrating what it can be like. Because this is, you look around, look at the person next to you and say, we're going to share heaven and eternity together. We are. Whether you're black or white, or whether you're from England or wherever, or Wales even, you know, you're going to be sharing heaven with people like that. So we can enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth if we can just get it right with Jesus and just take what we learn from his word and take it into the world. That's because that's the whole idea of it. That's why we exist, isn't it? We exist. I said this on Friday or Saturday. We exist to tell others about the good news of Jesus. That's what we're here for. And we can do it in loads of different ways. It doesn't have to be... What is it St. Francis of Assisi said? I go around preaching the gospel, and sometimes I use words. And that's what it can be, that. Just as simple as that. Yes? Let's pray. Yeah, the other thing, just to finish. People are watching. If people discover you're a Christian, they're watching you to see how you react to things. And Ian was telling me about several things that's happened to him in his workplace where they've come to him because they know he's a Christian. And that's where we want to get to, where people come and seek you out. And you know, in these days of political correctness, Angela used to say that when she was teaching in school, she couldn't, you can't overtly preach or teach your Christian faith. But if a child comes to you and asks, then you're full at liberty just to tell them. This is what's been happening with Ian. People have been coming to him and saying, what's all this thing about Jesus then? And that's what we need to be praying for, opportunities like that in the workplace. Because people will be watching to see how you're going to react to this set of circumstances. And if you're like me, with that woman I was telling you about, I didn't react very well a lot of the occasions, and she picked me up on it. She said, you've been a horrible Christian. And I said, oh no. I'm sorry. I'm going to try and do better. And then God started to do stuff with my colleagues. So just be aware that the eyes of the world are on you once they know you're a believer. Because you've got something to give, haven't you? You've got something to give. You've got hope, expectancy. You've got refreshment. You've got the blood of Jesus to heal. You've got everything going for us. Everything in the arsenal. Everything is contained in that book. It's at your disposal. Okay? All right, let's pray. Oh, I've gone over a bit, sorry. Is that all right? You sure?
Yeah.
It's coffee break, but I think we should pray. Why don't you stand? If you'd like Angela and I to pray over with you on anything that I've spoken about, or anything really that's gone over the weekend that you know the Lord has touched your heart, and you just want, we won't counsel you a minute, we'll just stand with you in agreement in prayer. But if you need deeper stuff, then you need obviously to speak to your leaders here, because we can open things up a little bit, but we don't want to do that, because you need to open those up to your own leaders here where they can deal with those issues. But if the stuff that you want us just to say, look, I really want to try and be a better person in the workplace, we'll stand with you in agreement and say yes and amen to all that, okay? If you would like that, then when I finish praying, I'd like you to come out and we will pray with you and we will anoint you with oil, and so that when you go back into whatever you do tomorrow, you'll hit the ground running. You'll be so full of Jesus and so eager to get using some of this stuff and God will draw people across your path. You wait and see. That's what will change the world. Can one person change the world? Of course he can. Can one person change the office? Yes, you can. Can one person change the school? Yes, you can. I say, yes, you can. The Bible says it. God says it. Which is even more important. Yes? Now you can stop all that now. Right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for Jesus. Thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I want to thank you for all you've done in my life, Lord. I want to thank you for every person here, Lord. I want to thank you that these men and women love you, Father. Love you to the ends of the earth, Lord. They love you so much, and they love what you've done. Father, I just ask you go around the room by your Spirit right now, Lord, that you'd look into every heart in this room. And Lord, I pray, Father, will you see an opening in that heart? Father, I ask you come in like a flood. And Father, you'd bring your peace, your strength, Lord, your affirmation right into those areas, Lord. I pray, Father, that that you would demonstrate your love for these people, Lord, that those hearts, Lord, that open up now, Lord, before you, Father, I just thank you that there is a desire and there's a hunger in this place, Lord, to move on with Jesus. Father, I want to pray that we'll be able to take our salvation and use it to your glory when we go back into the workplace tomorrow, when we go back in to the home situations, to the schools, to the leisure centers, whatever it is we do tomorrow. Father, we can take Jesus and we can use our salvation to guide others to know you. Father, I pray that salvation will break out in families. Father, I pray for those in this room that have been praying for relatives, for husbands, for wives, for children. That, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll break in by the power of your Spirit, that you release salvation into families in this place today, Father, that you'll start that process. Father, they would not give up praying, Father. They would keep praying until the job is done and even keep praying more to see other families saved, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are in those situations at work that are difficult. Those situations, Father, that are causing them angst and causing them anxiety. Father, will you break in by the power of your Spirit and bring your healing touch, bring your ray of light into those dark areas, Father. We pray for those that work in councils and in banks, Lord. We ask, Father, for those Christians in those places, Lord. I pray that they would be protected and they would stand up and be counted, Father. I pray for integrity and honesty across this nation and across this room, Lord, wherever they work, wherever they school, wherever they leisure times are, Lord, that you would, they would be singled out, Lord, because they have the mark of Jesus on them, Lord. Not any other mark, but the mark of Jesus. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would help us, Lord, that we'd know that verse that says the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Lord, I pray that you would release joy in this place. More joy than they've known before, Father. More joy. The joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord well up. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Lord, that I pray that tomorrow, for every single one of the people in this room, that tomorrow someone who doesn't know you will come across their path and make some comment, Lord, that will open up a conversation that will release Jesus into that person's life. Father, thank you for this body. I want to thank you for Broadfields Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for the leaders. I want to thank you for every single individual, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, I pray, will you equip them to be missionaries on that estate? Will you equip them to be evangelists, Lord, wherever they go? And Lord, I pray for the kids. I pray for the schools. I ask, Lord, that you would protect them, Father. Just on that note, folks, I always think that our kids facing bigger hurdles and bigger hassles than we ever did when we were at school. They're right on the sharp end in the playground. And I want us to pray when we leave here. I want you to pray for your kids. Pray for the young teenagers. Pray that God would protect them. Pray that he would use them to his glory, that they would be equipped to take Jesus into those playgrounds. Father, I just ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch your people now, Lord. If you need to respond and you would like us to stand with you, just to stand with you in prayer, then please come out. We will pray and we'll stand with you and see what agreements in prayer can do. Negative agreements can destroy. Or do destroy. Positive agreements do the exact opposite. Okay, if we agree together in prayer, you can see the heavens open. You can see the resources of heaven being poured out. And I believe God wants to bless you. I know he wants to bless you. I'm just going to just pray that. You know the prayer of Jabez? You familiar with it? We've taken it on congregation. We've taken on this year as our verses, and I'm just going to pray that over you, okay? Father, I pray that you would bless them indeed. I pray, Father, you would enlarge their borders. I pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand on them. And Father, I pray that you would lead them and steer them away from evil and from the evil one in the name of Jesus. If you want prayer, if you want someone to agree with you, then come and we'll do that right now.